To begin this evening, I'd like to speak about Ebed-Melech. That'd be a great name if you're going to have any kids in the future. Ebed-Melech, name a son like that. In the context of what we listened to today, it was in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible. It's actually longer than the Psalms. You might think it's longer, but it's actually less in the Psalms. Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible. And he was a prophet in a very difficult situation in his life and in his whole mission. If you remember, he was called, and he responded, he was called to be a prophet, and he said, "I am too young." And Jesus said, "Whatever you think you're young, I'll teach you." And so he began to preach, and what he had to preach was tough stuff, bad news. And literally that was when the Israelites, the Judaites actually at that time, were being destroyed by Babylon. So they were taken out in three different times of being exiled out of Jerusalem and that area to Babylon itself. Their houses were destroyed, they were burnt. Their whole culture was gone in that place, and of course the temple. I mean, that'd be like us if somebody came into the International Falls or in Minnesota and they said, "All right, we're going to destroy everything Catholic, your house, your possessions, and we're going to take you to a whole different country." That's what they were going through. And at this point, Jeremiah himself was persecuted in several different places because they didn't want to hear what God is preaching to him. They threw him into a cistern, a well, and there's no water in it, it was muddy, and he was about ready to die. And that's when Ebed-Melech comes basically to save his life. Now, Ebed-Melech wasn't a Jewish person, but somebody that cared. He was kind of like a good Samaritan or a friend that noticed what was happening. And he said to the king, now this isn't just a normal thing you could do, right? I mean, if you're going to challenge out the king and some of the people working under him, what could happen? Well, Ebed-Melech could die. But he had the strength to say to the king, "My lord king, these men have been at fault, and all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into the cistern, he will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city." Then the king ordered Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. The next verses after that was one of my favorite parts in the Bible, that yes, Ebed-Melech protected Jeremiah, announced him to the king, and then received those individuals that could save him. But he was beyond just that, of saving his life. And it's kind of funny, because I actually laugh on this every time I read it. But they threw down rags in the bottom of the well that he could catch it and put him under his armpits, because they were going to pick him up. And they didn't want him to be injured. I mean, imagine that, a rope ahead of you that's basically saving you, giving you that chafe in your armpit. And that's what was going on. And that was the image that he showed Jeremiah to save his life. One of my favorite scriptures is in Sirach 6 about friends. And if we're in tough times, that's where we need a friend. Or if we're the one that needs to help a friend. A faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. He that has found one has found a treasure. There is nothing so precious as a faithful friend, and no scales can measure his excellence. A faithful friend is an elixir of life, and those who fear the Lord will find him. Whoever fears the Lord directs his friendship aright. For as he is, so is his neighbor also. Finally, we hear of Jesus. We go from this, we think this beautiful story about Abimelech and Jeremiah and his salvation being saved. And then you hear on the other side of the coin of Jesus saying, I'm not here for peace. I'm here to have things separate. And that might seem harsh. And Jesus, at times, were harsh. He wasn't just an ice cream man that wants everybody singing all the time. He doesn't want to just give cakewalks to make we can go to heaven like nothing. Oh, he's more like a coach. He's more like a teacher. He's more like a friend that will challenge his disciples. And he told them that. He said, I am your friend. And at the same time, he will challenge them. And he did that to them and us today. I mean, just imagine in our own families. Who of us have our friend as Jesus Christ? All of us have family members that don't believe in Jesus, or don't care about Jesus, doesn't want to follow his relationship. That's where, you know, we can be kind of thinking, why would we read this in the scriptures? Well, I mean, think about all history. From now on, a household of five will be divided. Three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against his son and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter. A daughter against her mother. On and on and on. I think one way to maybe make that more palatable is to think of Jesus is basically saying, Who are my friends really? Who are really my Savior, Jesus Christ? Who are they, the ones that will take that love and friendship from Jesus Christ to share that with the other person? Kind of being like Abimelech. You to be the ones like him. You to be like the saints, like St. Teresa of Calcutta. You to be the ones like St. Damien, the leader of the at Molokai with the lepers. Who of you can be a friend? Not just having a beer, not just having coffee, not just playing golf, as that is a great thing. Those are great things to have with friends. But to follow the depth of what we listened in the prophet Jeremiah and his persecution and his friend, and Jesus Christ, who said he was their friend, but challenging them, said he will always get everybody together to be his friend.